This is case number 2016-2, the Estates of Cedar Grove, an application of BDRP LLC. It is a major subdivision for the creation of a cluster subdivision. The plan proposes to subdivide 70.83 acres plus or minus into 100 single-family dwellings with private roads and open space. The property is located on the northwest side of Beaver Dam Road, approximately 477 feet south of Kendall Road. The tax map ID is District 234, Map 2, Parcel 2. The zoning is AR1 Agriculture Residential District. And I would ask Ms. Cornwell if she would just summarize any tax comments, et cetera, that she may have in her file.
Thank you. As this is over 50 units, this application did go through the PLUS process, which is the state land use process. It went there on March 23rd of this year. A copy of the PLUS comments and the applicant's response to the PLUS comments were included in their exhibit booklet. The applicant did provide an exhibit booklet that included multiple information, including the PLUS comments in that response. The subdivision also went through the technical advisory committee process, which is the TAC process. Staff did receive comments from the Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Department, and the Public Works Division. We also received comments from the Office of the State Fire Marshal, the Department of Agricultural, DENREC, Fish and Wildlife, the Division of Public Health regarding water that would be provided by Tidewater, and the 911 mapping and addressing approval of the names of the road names and the change of name to Delwood Estates. Again, this is a cluster subdivision and will provide sidewalks on at least one side of the road. It also complies with the buffer and open space requirements for a cluster subdivision. Thank you.
Thank you. The chair recognizes Mr. Schrader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And for the benefit of the record, my name is Dennis Schrader. I'm the attorney for the developer of this project. I have with me Tom Buescher and Megan Connor to my left, your right, who are representing the ownership and development group. And I have also with me Mark Davidson from Pannoni. As Ms. Cornwell has indicated to you, as is our practice in these matters, we have submitted to you a rather extensive exhibit book that contains a lot of information for your consideration that has been before you for the last 10 days that will allow you to know more detail about the project than we can put out orally tonight. Excuse me. This is a cluster lot subdivision that we have applied for on behalf of the applicant, and the project is located on Beaver Dam Road, just about 2,500 feet west of Plantation Road. There are 70 acres of land here, a portion of which is 23.92 acres to be devoted to lots. There will be 7.6 acres in streets, and there will be open space of 38.56 acres. And I know Mark will be angry with me for putting this on the table, but that's 55%. Open space for this particular project. It is currently an agricultural or vacant use, and if granted by you tonight or at some point in the future, there will be 100 dwelling units with a density of about 1.42 units per acre. This isn't a low density environmentally density developing area, 11.4 for the state strategies map. And as you know, there will be wastewater disposal through Tidewater Environmental Services, Inc. Water will be through Tidewater Utilities, and they have been through PLUS and TAC at this point. Delwood Estates is the second name that has been given to this project. Previously, it was known as the Estates of Cedar Grove. Having talked to the ownership group, my own personal opinion and the personal opinion of Mr. Pannoni, you likely will see a third name before this is over. But we're running out of combinations for sand, preserve, reserve, beach, plum. We're going to have to work on it a little bit. At this time, I'll have Mr. Davidson come forward and let him give you his presentation.
All right, sir. Thank you. Good evening. For the record, my name is Mark Davis. I'm a principal land planner with Pannoni Associates, located just outside of Milton, Delaware. My qualifications have been submitted as part of the hearing and the hearing booklets. This property, as was already mentioned, is on the west side of Beaver Dam Road. We're just south of Kendall Road. The property is approximately 70.23 acres in size, and there's approximately 31.69 acres of wooded land that is located on towards the western side of this piece of property. And the remaining 38.54 is consisting of agricultural land. There is approximately 4 acres of wetlands that is located along the western portion of the site, which is along Bundix Branch. The property is located in a mixed agricultural and residential area. The property is adjacent to agricultural fields, residential dwellings, some wooded lands, and then also the subdivision called the Ridings of Rehoboth. Tonight, just to kind of go over my presentation and not to elaborate or repeat myself too many times, I'm going to go through what is, and it's in the hearing booklets under tabs 6 through 10, the 99-C, the 17 requirements, and through that, my presentation will also cover the cluster development design of sections 115-25E and F being the superior design component of a cluster design. It'll also cover some of the comments that we've had to review and address as far as the plus comments and through any of the TAC comments that have been received. Careful attention was directed at clustering the lots on the environmentally suitable portions of the parcel. If you notice in the booklet, I've provided a color rendering, and up on the screen there's the color rendering. As you can tell, we've taken the majority of the site of the subdivision of our proposed layout, and we've placed it within the agricultural lands on the site. Only approximately 6 acres of the lots that we are proposing are within the wooded areas, which we're going to be remaining about 25 and a half acres of the woods will remain untouched as a part of this design. The development was planned in accordance with some community design standards. The housing types in this low density area is limited to single family detached dwellings. The forested buffer area with a minimum width of 30 feet has been provided for all lots abutting all the agricultural areas along the east side of the parcel, as well as a 20-foot landscape buffer as required under 99-6F of the subdivision codes. Does exceed the minimum requirements of the section 115-25E-4A, which is under the clustering requirements for the project. And again, as I stated, the parcel is adjacent to on the eastern side of the subdivision called the Ridings of Rehoboth. They have a density of about 1.02 units per acre. They are on central water and central sewer that's provided by Tidewater Utilities. And with that, our density of 1.42, we do provide the 50-foot buffer that is under the clustering ordinance. Superior design, so there is a 50-foot buffer along the western side with our lots to the adjacent ridings to provide for that transition, and it's a very small transition in the density and between both projects. All lots will have access through a single access to Beaver Dam Road, which is a state-maintained road, and all lots are approximately 300 feet from the wetland area that's located along the western side of this property, which is primarily located along Bundix Branch. All lots shall have central water and wastewater that is operated and maintained by Tidewater Utilities, which is a company that is authorized in the state of Delaware to perform such services. The collection system that system is located at the Ridings of Rehoboth, and I've provided under tab 10 of the booklet the willing and able letters for Tidewater to be able to, they have sufficient capacity with their system within the ridings of Rehoboth for us to connect our 100 lots with, on the central water and central sewer. The minimum use of wetlands and floodplains, again, there are 4 acres of wetlands located on this property, and they're primarily located within the area of Bundix Branch, which is, again, along the western side of our property. The floodplain, there are 2 flood zones on this property, a Zone A and a Zone X. The Zone A floodplain line, and that's located, I do have floodplain maps within the map section of this book, as well as we have an existing conditions plan within the subdivision package. It shows the Zone A land located along the wetlands line. That's along Bundix Branch, so there will be no none of the lots will encroach anywhere near the Zone A flood zone that is out there. The preservation of natural and historical features under tab 8, and although not required, but as part of the superior design, we did provide an environmental review and an environmental assessment of the property, and that report is under tab 8, and it outlines all the reviews and all the studies that we did on the property for natural resources, endangered species, we even the wetlands delineation. So that report is within there. There's no natural historical features on the site. That also came through the PLUS process, that there was nothing known on the site through the historical data. With the preservations of open spaces, the minimum requirement for open space is 30%, and we are providing approximately 55% of our site is open space. 25 acres of that open space is the wooded area that is going to remain untouched. And as part of that, within the superior design ordinance, 30% of the required open space, which is approximately 6 acres, must be contiguous. So we're providing 25 acres within the wooded area. That's not included all the open space that we're providing in the form of the clubhouse and the pool, and every lot abuts up against some form of open space within the project here. There's a lot of usable open space that is throughout the entire property. The minimization of trees, vegetation, soil removal, it is recognized that we do recognize that the forest does provide good water quality, air quality, and wildlife benefits. So, as I stated, only approximately 6 acres of the 31-acre wooded area is going to be disturbed with the development of this property. And that disturbance is within the beginning portions of the wooded area that's already located out there. The screening of the objectional features from the neighboring properties, the project exceeds the minimum landscaping buffers. Again, we're providing within the adjacent to the ridings of Rehoboth, 50 feet plus buffers are shown across there, again, providing the 20-foot landscape buffer along that common boundary line. And of course, if the buffers within the wooded area, the woods will not be touched during the construction of the subdivision. And I've already talked about the water supply and the sewage disposal. Again, I've got in the booklet the letters from the Tidewater Utilities being able to supply both water and wastewater. Again, through the stormwater regulations, which are kind of a moving target at this point, as everybody probably realizes. But with something that is going to probably come out here soon that will solidify what we're supposed to be doing for stormwater within the state of Delaware, but as with the emergency regulations that are in effect at this time, we will be able to provide for the prevention of pollution of groundwater. And certainly taking the subdivision and tying it to a central wastewater system will also alleviate the use of septic systems in the area. So it'll also one more measure to be able to prevent groundwater pollution. So with that, the stormwater for this site is going to run through a series of different types of planted buffer strips. What we're going to try to do is minimal disturbance as we possibly can. Again, what we're able to do is concentrate the entire subdivision within the open agricultural part of the open area of the subdivision. We've done some pretty extensive soils research out there, and so did a lot of test pitting and some borings, and the soils are favorable for infiltration. So we're going to take that and we're going to use that as an advantage as part of our stormwater design. The provision for safe vehicular and pedestrian movement. We are providing sidewalks on one side. Coming into the boulevard, coming in off of Beaver Dam Road, there will be sidewalks on both sides of the road. We are providing for a shared use path across the frontage as is required by through DLDOT permitting. Those sidewalks will connect to that shared use path. There will also be a bike lane. As part of the requirements to with DLDOT, the road frontage along the frontage of this road, which is fairly lengthy, we will be expanding the travel lanes to 11-foot wide travel lanes, 5-foot shoulders, bike lanes, and then again a shared use path. And then we'll clean up any drainage concerns that are associated with the road today. So we'll take those drainage concerns, the drainage problems that could occur right now along Beaver Dam Road, and we will bring those into our property, and we will take care of those as part of the expansion of the roadway system along Beaver Dam Road. The project has been planned to ensure that there shall be no negative effect on the agricultural uses through the use of that 30-foot wide forested indoor landscape buffer strip, as well as we are providing on the opposite side, on the northern side of this property, a 50-foot building setback from the adjacent agricultural land. So we'll be able to set back the lots that are abutting up against this agricultural, the remaining portions of the farmland right here. Those lots will be set back. The rear lot lines are 50 feet from the boundary line. We don't see that there's going to be any effects on schools or public buildings. We will work with the Cape and Lopen School District and locating a bus stop out at the entrance of the site. So during our design of the subdivision and the road system, we will coordinate these efforts with the Cape and Lopen School District. We don't believe that the area property values will be decreased, but they will be increased with this development, as the developer has proven in the past with the developments that he's been working on, that he provides an unmatched style of living and the types of houses that he builds. Again, as part of the roadway and the public transportation system, we will be making all the roadway improvements. No traffic impact study was required for this development. Instead, they had a fee in lieu of approximately $9,600 will have to be paid during the entrance plan approval process. There's also, DLDOT has asked us to take a look at a couple of close intersections just to see if there's going to be any negative effects from this development on those intersections, and kind of point out what, if any, improvements may be necessary to those intersections. Again, the compatibility with the other land use areas, I did provide in the in the package under the 99-C, an area subdivision map that kind of outlines that there's quite a few single family subdivisions in the area, so we're compatible with the residential use. And the effect on area waterways, this project, again, everything is pulled back away from and trying out of the, as much as possible, out of the wooded area. And we are approximately 330 feet away from Bundix branch, so we don't see that there's going to be any negative impact on the adjacent woods. And again, just to kind of reiterate a little bit about the clustering and the superior design, we are providing the sidewalks on one side. The recreational amenities for right now that we're proposing on this site plan, we are providing a pool and a clubhouse, sidewalks that connect to the pool and the clubhouse. There is sufficient amount of parking spaces that we are proposing next to the clubhouse. The sidewalks will connect to a shared use path that will be located along the frontage of the property. We've provided sufficient amount of open space, 55% again, and then a large tract of open space of approximately 25 acres. Other recreational amenities for this property will be planned during the design. We're going to take a look at as we design this site and work with the environmental nature of the site, and we're going to plan other amenities for this site, but not, right now what we're showing are the sidewalks and the pool and the clubhouse. So, and with that, that wraps up my presentation.
There is included in tab number 4 a copy of a proposed set of covenants and conditions that will be applicable to this particular project. These covenants and conditions make reference to the Delaware Uniform Common Ownership of Interest Act, and will provide for the maintenance of the streets and common areas in the project and the self-governance of the project by the property owners. The project clearly is within the definition of a superior design in the sense that it does provide a significant protection for the wetlands. It does provide open space. I believe there is a yield plan that you all may have seen by now that shows what a 100-unit standard subdivision might look like if it were applied to this particular tract, and it is not particularly appealing, and it certainly does nothing to preserve the wetlands and the open spaces. The density of this project at 1.4 is compatible with those projects that are in the area, such as Heron Bay, Oak Crest Pond, Oak Crest Farms. You have BB Farms, Coastal Club. They're all in the 2-plus range. And lastly, but not least, we have provided to you a proposed set of conditions and findings of fact so that you may have a matrix from which to work if you were to favor us with your approval. Thank you, and we all four are available to answer questions as you may pose them.
All right, sir, we thank you. We'll see if anyone has any questions for you, and we'll start with Mr. Burton.
Yes. Let's talk about the buffers, because they're bigger than what is normal, right?
Yep.
Can you review them?
Yes, sir. Primarily, the majority of the buffers that we're providing down several sides here of the development are greater than the 30 feet. So what we did is we took the standard 30-foot buffer that's required under the cluster. Inside that 30-foot buffer will be the 20-foot landscape buffer under 99-7. The actual plannings will be per that part of the ordinance. And then we buffered it even further. We got, especially against the ridings of Rehoboth, another extra 20 to 25 feet away from that. So we are providing 50.
So it's, and that was really my question over there. So it's 30, which will have the landscape buffer in, and then an additional 20,
correct, yes.
And then the lot line.
That is correct, yes.
Okay. And then on the side that boards the agricultural, that is a 30-foot planted buffer.
That's correct. There's a 30-foot planted buffer, again, meeting the first, inside that first 20 feet of that 30 feet is part of that, of the 99-7 requirement. And then there's an additional 20 to 25 feet on that side as well till you hit the lot line. So again, 50 feet away from that actual boundary line is the buffer.
And then will you mark that in some way, I guess, to show
yes,
that it's not,
yes,
you know,
so
that's not somebody's backyard?
That's correct, yes. Property lines will be established. Markers will be established along those property lines.
Okay. How do you see the phasing of this working? How do you see construction
I think
working?
Typically, construction phasing is typically approximately 30 to possibly 40 lots. Through the process, so it'll probably be broken up into maybe four. Let's just call it four phases. That makes it easy math of 25 lots, but maybe three phases of, you know, 33 lots a piece or something like that. And it, again, once we start to get into the hard engineering of the site, it'll be easier to be able to tell which part of the lot phasing we'll be able to do based on infrastructure.
Will they all be the same type of homes?
Yeah, they will work with a home builder to be able to provide the types of housing.
But they're all going to be single-family homes, there's nothing?
That's correct, yes, all single-family homes.
Do you know approximately what they'll look like and what they'll be priced?
No, we don't know that.
To the stormwater management question, you're really just in a, you don't know which way it's going to go, right? With you?
We know it's going downhill, Mr. Burton, but we don't know which downhill it'll be.
But there's, I don't see any ponds or outfalls or anything.
No. I mean, again, the prime, if you, on the existing conditions plan, you'll see how it's contouring. And we did an extensive topography survey. So you'll see that the site, pretty much, we have a high point in the middle of the site here, right around here, and it all falls this way. And yes, again, back towards Bundy Springs. So, and we've done a lot of soils work out there. So we're going to be able to take advantage of infiltration, which is primarily what the stormwater regs want you to do, is take care of infiltration. But there's some new requirements that are being introduced right now by legislation, by legislators, about what you can, determining how much water you can discharge versus how much you still have to retain on site. And I mean, and again, it's kind of a moving target, but no matter what, right now the site's been laid out, and what we've been going after is how the emergency regulations that are set in place today. So nothing new has been introduced. It's being introduced, but nothing has been, I guess, solidified or put into the regulation as of yet. But what we're doing is we've prepared this development to meet the new regulation or the emergency regulations that are set. So some of the open space areas in between these lots will probably be low-lying areas, infiltrated, heavily vegetated as part of the biofiltration and bioretention requirements of the regs.
So your thought there is they're not going to be like ball fields. They're going to be part of the stormwater management.
Oh, that's correct. Yes. Yeah. We're going to have smaller facilities located throughout the development. We're not talking about one large stormwater facility.
I noticed there's a connection to the ridings. Is that?
That's for water and sewer.
Just water and sewer.
That's correct.
No,
just water and sewer
connection. Okay, thank you. That's all the questions I have.
All right then, Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I wanted to make sure I used some of Mr. Schrader's sticky notes. So I do have a couple questions. But first, I want to commend Mark and Pannoni Associates on the thoroughness of your material submitted to us. As usual, there's not a whole lot left there that hasn't been turned over and looked at, and I appreciate that. And while I'm on comments, I also want to comment. This is about the first time I've seen a project that has wetlands on it where we don't have Denrec jumping up and down saying we want a 100-foot buffer. So, again, I looking at this from the sign of a superiority, I think having the 330 feet from the wetlands is pretty amazing today. So I suspect when you did your original proposal, you were much closer to wetlands. And
much closer.
Much closer. And again, that's the difference between a standard subdivision and a cluster. For those folks that here who haven't experienced the different types of subdivisions that we do have. So. But having been said, let's talk about ridings and the septic or the sewer system. I know if I was a resident of ridings, one of my concerns would be, what impact would this have on their sewer system? You know, if Tywood's coming in saying that, we're going to take this, our sewer system is servicing this subdivision maybe in and of itself, and now we're going to take on another 100 homes. How's that going to affect them as a community? Is it going to change their rates up or down, or what might be the impact of the sewer?
Well, there's two things going to happen here. One of them is that Tidewater can't, under a certificate of public convenience and necessity, agree to serve us unless it actually has the capacity to treat, to collect, treat, and dispose of appropriately the wastewater that would be generated by this project. Of course, that's a regulated process, which once they have the CPCN and the plant in place and have complied with all of the technical requirements, obviously they couldn't offer to do that, and we're going to be in a position to benefit from it without any detriment to the capacity that's already been allocated to the Ridings. The second thing is about what the rates are. It is a regulated utility. The Public Service Commission regulates those rates and tells Tidewater what they will be or what they won't be. I know from my years of experience as a county attorney and working with the engineering department, it's relatively simple. If you have a plant that operates at a fixed cost and you have 100 users and then add another 100 users, it ought to get cheaper. But I don't make the applications and don't represent Tidewater. But the fixed cost should be cheaper as far as any variable costs that are concerned. There may be some additional costs, and my guess is it will reflect itself in the rates charged to the folks at this project.
And while we're talking about that, how do they dispose of their currently at Ridings? How do they dispose of, or how they handle the water?
The wastewater system is a rapid infiltration basin.
And it's using the rapid infiltration basins on Earth.
Yeah, they have a wastewater treatment plant that treats the wastewater that comes from the residential houses. And then through that treatment process, then they dispose of it through rapid infiltration.
On site at the Ridings.
Yeah, that's correct.
So then this will be handled on basically on their property.
That's correct.
Okay. You already answered my question as best as it could be about old rules and new rules. Is there any need to have any, and I did look at the restrictive covenants. I assume there's not going to be a boat storage yard.
Tempting, but no.
Otherwise, it might look like some of the properties across the road from you. Is there any, and like I said, I didn't read through all that section. I read through pretty much everything else. Well, I did read through everything else. Was there a hunting notice?
I don't think there is.
I know there's agricultural notice in there.
Yeah, I don't think there is.
Okay. I don't know if that's something that needs or thought should be given to in that process or not. And Mr. Chairman, right now, that's all the questions I have.
All right, sir. We thank you. Mr. Ross.
Yes, just to follow up on the Ridings, I mean, I guess they're in good standing with DNREC. Have they had any notices of violation or anything of that nature?
I'd probably stay a little closer in touch with that because I've represented some of the wastewater treatment facilities in the county, and I'm not aware that they've ever been cited for violations at the Ridings, but I'm not certifying that. I'm just saying I've not picked that up.
Just curious, I noticed in tab 10, Mark, it doesn't really state that they have the capacity. It doesn't state they don't, but it, do you have some additional information that says they have the capacity for that?
It must have been written by an attorney.
It just doesn't answer the question.
I'd like to remind the chairman that at the beginning, just Mr. Robertson said you were not to disparage certain classes of individuals. Lawyers are considered a class.
Believe you're a protected class, yeah. Mr. Schrader. Yeah. I don't believe
it's amazing you guys haven't put yourself in one, but yeah.
We're working on it.
Surprising.
In the letter, you know, it shows the question being asked, and it does show that they have some, you know, some capacity, but it doesn't really say if they have enough for the 100 units, you know.
We've been working with Tidewater because they, in order for them to be able to serve through the easement that we show on the plan here, in this area here, they have to secure the easement to be able to allow us to bring our water and sewer. So they have our plans, they provided us with all their as-builts, and we've been working on providing, they understand that we're providing 100 units here plus a clubhouse. So at that, they said that there is sufficient capacity to be able to provide both for the wastewater as well as water capacity for both domestic and fire.
I don't think it's a deal breaker because, you know, they don't have it. They don't have it. If they don't have it, you're not going to get it. And they have it, you get it. So,
well, Mr. Ross, at the beginning of tab 10, there is an email from Jeremy Kalmbacher of Middlesex Water.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which is the mothership, if you will, of the Tidewater entities. And in it, he says that there is capacity for both water and wastewater.
But then he asked the question, do you know the estimated EDUs?
Well, it would be no more than 100 because of the size of the project.
So I don't think it's a big issue because at the end of the day, you know, when you go to get your permit, you're going to have the permits for the number of EDUs or not. So the clubhouse and the pool and all that, do you have some kind of a guesstimate as to the size or the value, dollar value that you plan on spending on those amenities?
Sir, if you're going to testify, you need to
identify yourself for the record.
Tom Busher. I'm the developer. And the clubhouse is going to be approximately 2,000 to 2,500 square feet. Market value, probably $500,000.
Yeah, that's okay. That's good enough for now. Okay. Thank you. That's all my questions, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr.
No questions.
No questions. Okay.
No questions, thank you.
Your plan shows street trees. Is that a commitment as part of the landscaping requirement, or?
No, it's voluntary. It's part of the landscaping requirement, just, again, with the design and with the landscaping that we've been doing in the past for this developer, some street trees are planted throughout the entire development, but the requirement for the landscaping as per the code, it's just it's for the 20-foot buffers, and then there's an extensive amount of landscaping that the developer will do inside the development while the development is being built.
That's not necessarily a commitment at this point.
No, not a commitment, but it is shown on the plan, and it is something that is done typically when these developments are built like this.
Thank you.
Okay.
Not at this time. All right. Thank you. All right, then. We appreciate your presentation. If you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here that was interested in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2016-2, Estates at Cedar Grove?
Can't hear.
You wish to speak in favor?
Well, I am not opposed or I'm not against, so if I get...
Well, then you can take your pick. You can speak now or you can speak later.
I'll speak now.
All right. I imagine it's a shorter line. Just guessing.
Sal Ziza, I'm a resident of the Ridings of Rehoboth, 33755 Reservoir Drive, and I am also the president of Ridings Homeowners Association.
Okay.
Stormwater management, we take our work very, very seriously. We were the recipient of the Governor's Award with a tribute of stormwater management, a tribute from the County Council, the State Senate, and the House of Representatives. We want to be a good neighbor. I'm not opposed or against this development, okay? And you don't know what you don't know. So unless you go down to the county and look at maps and what have you. We didn't know about this development until I saw a sign, a public notice sign. That data, the day that it was posted, I was down at the county looking at the plans. I can't look at every subdivision that goes on. But then I asked who was notified, and the planning department said they notified all of the residents, but they weren't required by the law to notify them. And I looked and I said, oh, we got a parcel of land, 2345767, and it's owned by the Ridings of Rehoboth. And that is where the proposed easement would go that would connect to Long Meadow Lane in a sewage pipe, which is an 8-inch capacity that goes from an elevation of, I think it's 19.2, the invert of the pipe, to Molson Way, to, I think, a 10 feet, whatever it is.
Whatever it is.
Whatever it is. Okay, it's downhill.
Well, that's a comfort.
Yeah, it is downhill. So I called up to see the address, and they got the notification, and they returned it to sender. Okay? So I am representing the Ridings Homeowners Association. Okay? I don't know how this procedure works, but the board would like to comment officially in writing. Would that be after this public session, or we want the right to reserve to comment, or would that go before the county council?
Well, this is a subdivision application.
That's
and
correct.
It will pretty much stay here. So,
okay.
Perhaps what we might do is consider leaving the record open to receive your comments, your written comments.
I would appreciate that.
We'll take that under advisement. I'm not guaranteeing that that'll happen, but
that's
we'll take that under advisement. Would you like to put some comments on the record now, verbally?
I would like to make a few comments.
Okay.
To the great presentation that we just saw,
okay.
And the clusters.
Okay.
This I don't understand cluster development, and I know that when I look at the original plans that I saw were half-acre lots, and then it got reduced to quarter-acre lots. Okay, I didn't see the original plan showed stormwater ponds. Okay, there are no stormwater ponds here, and I believe I heard that it is going to be through infiltration. Okay. The back property that is all wooded all runs downhill to Biddle Branch Creek, which is the bottom of that creek is 11 feet. So the property is around 30 feet, and everything goes downhill on the backside. Okay. The CPCN was... Has it been approved or hasn't it been approved? I don't know that. Okay. And it says that...
The applicant is indicating that it has been approved.
It has, the CPNC has been approved. Okay.
The applicant is indicating that.
The applicant has indicated that. That's fine. The easement, to the best of my knowledge, has not been approved.
The applicant is indicating that it has not been approved.
Right. Okay, good. And
so
the writings of Rehoboth Homeowners Association, we were contacted by Tidewater. They want to meet with us on Tuesday, next Tuesday.
Okay.
I said, oh, fine. We can meet with us. I am not opposed to this. I am not opposed, and I am not for it. We want to be a good neighbor. The buffers, the land, according to the stormwater assessment study, the land that abuts us on Long Meadow slopes down to us.
Mm-hmm.
I would hope that the design would go the other way.
Well, they can't run their water onto your property.
That's right.
They have to deal with their stormwater, so they're not... They can't be dumping it on you.
That, and the stormwater has not been submitted or reviewed to stormwater.
No, that would come later. I mean, that's not at all unusual that we would not have that level of detail yet, because these folks don't even know if they're going to be allowed to build it. So,
right.
You know,
I understand.
But in the process, though, they'll have to observe all the rules and regulations, and one of them is that you can't dump your water on your neighbor.
That's correct. And I guess the writings of Rehoboth, will have a long conversation with Tidewater about taking the affluent and putting it on the drip fields in the writing. That is, that has nothing to do with the planning board. That has the writing of the Rehoboth to deal with Tidewater. And there are a lot of residents here from the writings. I'm not for and against. I just wanted that to be on the record, and I thank you, everybody, for your service.
Before
and good luck. Good luck with your development.
Before you step down, sir, you said you have a meeting Tuesday the 31st with Tidewater?
That's correct. Correct.
So if we were kind enough to leave the record open for your letter, you could have it to us by Friday, June the 3rd?
I don't know. You're going to give me a time limit for the board to discuss?
Well, typically what happens is that if we choose to leave the record open, it's for a specified period of time.
Oh, okay.
And so I think what Mr. Ross is
I'm just trying to find out how much
trying to ask you is how much time do you think you would need?
I don't know what we don't know. I don't know. Well, I know that there
I can tell you that a typical period for leaving a record open is 15 days.
Okay.
That would be fairly typical.
And
you could certainly submit whatever written comments that you're able to within mm-hmm. that period of time. And even if all the unknowns are not known at that point, you can still put something on the record.
Okay. I do know that it's an 8-inch pipe mm-hmm. that goes, and there's 148 of our residents on that pipe, and they're going to add another 100.
And I'm sure that's your question. You know, how many can you put in an 8-inch pipe?
Yeah, but how many toilet bowls are you going to flood at the same time? Yeah. But anyway, we know we don't know, and we're looking for neighbors. We want to see that. We know everybody bought those properties there. We knew that was going to get developed. Okay? And we like Sussex County.
Would you say that again, please?
We knew when we moved here.
Wait for it.
When we moved here. That property was going to get developed.
I have been sitting here 24 years.
Right.
This is the first time anyone has ever admitted that in a public meeting.
Huh. It's inevitable.
You better get out more often.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
That was just amazing. I was so ready for the typical comment that we get. Okay, who's next? Who else would like to speak in favor? We're talking in favor now, okay?
I'm not against it. Like
well, you can pick your line. This line's pretty short here. You can pick your line. Come on up and tell us who you are, and then tell us what you want us to know.
I'm Nicole Sy. I live at the writings at Rehoboth.
Okay.
The only question that I have is, I don't know whether DelDOP has done an impact study on the right on the Beaver Dam Road. I know it's getting very crowded on Beaver Dam Road. I know that the Coastal Club is there. I know, and traffic has just been getting worse on Beaver Dam Road. And that's when I want to know whether DelDOP is going to do an impact study for that. That's all I'm concerned
okay.
with.
I'll try to get an answer for you.
Okay.
Mr. Davidson, what's the situation with the impact study? Are you paying into a fund, or
yes, we're paying to the area-wide study.
Which okay. The answer to the question is that this applicant is paying into and participating in an area-wide study. It's not specific for this development, but it's an area-wide study that DelDOT will be undertaking at some point in the future. Well, I'm sure we all will when the study's done. Okay, anyone else in favor? In favor, yes, sir. Come on up.
Hi, my name is David Lurdy. I've got the property listed. I'm a real estate agent. I also grew up in the state of Delaware. I grew up in Kent County, yes, but still state of Delaware. I just want to comment that I think it's a nice design, and given the possibility of water and sewer, or well and septic, I prefer to see sewer and water. And
well,
I can assure you that that will not happen any other way.
Yeah. So anyway, that's my point. I think it's a nice design, and I think it's a good approach.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else like to speak in favor? Okay.
Hi, my name is Robert Patero. I live at Buddings in Rehoboth.
Okay.
I'm not for or against. I would just like to make a public comment that you have really already addressed, but I'd like to put on the record that the buffer behind my home between that property has had numerous problems with flooding. And I've worked tirelessly with Jessica Watson, stormwater. And finally, it's not fixed, but it's manageable now. And I just, for the record, want to make sure it stays that way.
All right, sir. Well,
okay.
Well, indeed. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, then. Anyone else like to speak in favor or not? In favor or just not opposed?
Just questions.
Okay. All right.
Martin Dragobis. I'm a resident of the Ridings.
Okay.
Two questions.
Yeah.
Number one, the woods that you're showing on the plan is planning on staying undisturbed woods?
Yeah.
Is there any other expansion of lots other than what's on the plan?
No. I can answer that question.
Thank
you
very much.
You're welcome. Yeah. The woods will be remaining. And what you see on that plan is the only thing that is the subject of this application. So there aren't the only way any additional lots, whatever, be able to happen there would be they'd have to go through this whole process again. And once that open space is designated as open space, that's what it is. So, okay. Anyone else in favor or just has a question? Okay. Is there anyone who is opposed to subdivision 2016-2 who would like to speak? Opposed? In opposition? Yes, sir. Come on up.
Hi, my name is Greg Bennett. I also live in the Ridings, and I'm not necessarily opposed or in favor. I figured this would be the shorter line. There are certain issues that I think need to be addressed. While I'm new to the area, actually from New Jersey, we just moved here full-time a short while ago, but my home has been here for 2 years. I've seen what's happening in Lewis happen to a number of communities in New Jersey, where people move in, there's a lot of land to be developed, there's low taxes, nice place to go. What ended up happening in three of our towns was people bought homes, had kids, caused us to build or expand on the schools. People never sold those homes, kids moved away, and then we had extra schools. Taxes went through the roof, teachers got laid off, and we had surplus Board of Education property. At first blush, everybody always says there's not going to be no impact with the kids. Well, if you're building 100 homes, unless they're a retirement community, there is a potential for children. In addition, up and down Beaver Dam Road, we have Lewis Crossing, we have the Coastal Club, and we have several other large parcels of land that are subject to being developed. And I'm concerned for the future about the number of kids, the availability of schools. It's my understanding that the middle school is already undergoing an expansion. I don't know if that's true or not. It's something that I've heard. Additionally, I don't really haven't seen anything, and it may be going on, may not. Is infrastructure work. Beaver Dam Road is one lane each direction. It's already extremely crowded. Adding the homes, the 100 homes here, figure two cars per home, that's 200 cars. Coastal Club, several hundred homes. Lewis Crossing. I don't see any way to make these roads wider to accommodate the traffic. The other infrastructure, in addition to the issues that have already been raised about stormwater and utilities, for the last 2 years, I've been getting notice from Delmarva Power about power usage. I don't see any more power generation plants being developed. If we're already having issues providing power in the summer, it's only May and we hit 90 today. What's going to happen in the summer when it's 100 degrees and you have another 2,000 homes that want air conditioning? I don't know if any of that's going on. I really can't tell. I don't see anything. That doesn't mean it's not happening. But those are some of the concerns that I look at, is the school system, the impact of the school system, the impact of all these homes with the traffic congestion and all the side streets, all the, you know, the people to know that the cut-throughs are all going to start to see significant backlogs too. And I see a lot more land, like Sal said, that probably will be developed or sold off eventually, because it doesn't look like it's being farmed. It looks like it's just open space that's someone's waiting to get a good price on to develop. And I'm just concerned, not necessarily, I think that the presentation that was made on this particular development, other than some of the issues you may have with that have already been addressed, I don't have any problem with that. We figured that property was going to be developed too when we moved in, so that's two today. So, I mean, you have to be foolish when there's a sign there that says it's for sale to think it's going to stay vacant forever.
You would be amazed, though.
Oh, I would.
You would be amazed at the number of people.
I was in emergency services for 30 years. I'm not amazed at hardly much.
I'll bet you're not.
The other thing that kind of sticks out and to me is only the one way in and one way out. I don't know if that's a requirement or if that's just the developers and the builders.
It's kind of the way DelDOT likes it.
I see more problems with that, again, from my perspective in emergency services, one way in and one way out, there's a big problem there. Everybody's trying to get, the choke point would be ridiculous. We had an incident in my area where we had a community similar to this, where we had one way in, one way out, and there was a large issue and it became a problem. But if that's the way it is, that's the way it is. But again, I'm not pro or con. I'm just worried about where this county is going in the future with all this development, and I don't really see any infrastructure development going on to support it.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? It's one trip to a customer. I'm sorry. Sorry about that. One trip to a customer. But I am done. Interesting your comment about the impact on the schools. I was just wondering, that as far as the riding is concerned, are a lot of you anticipating having some school age children? Okay. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Okay. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Anyone on the commission have any questions? All right, then. We'll close the public hearing, and we'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. I believe in order to give you a chance to exit orderly, we're going to take a 5-minute recess. We appreciate your cooperation.